Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Happy almost Memorial Day. This is Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York, where it is in the 80s. It is in the 80s. Summer is arriving officially, and I'm broadcasting here from my bright red desk, and I'm joined tonight by Miss Heather.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi up in central Minnesota, where it's also in the 80s. After some really interesting storms nearby, and we had hailstones the size of half dollars nearby us, yesterday. So it's kind of exciting weather, as the Midwest loves to have.
I'm going to ask, were they purple hailstones?
No, they forgot Connor Prince. Everything
not
else is purple here.
Everything else is purple. Because I was going to say the whole town's purple. Every time I look around, there's something purple. Yeah.
Everything was purple.
So plain old hailstones. All right. Well, and Mark won't be joining us tonight because he's getting over a virus, so he won't be here. Mm-hmm. But he'll be back next week. And we're announcing a change in Access Astrology. Heather, you want to say what we're doing?
And, yes, we have decided to move it a little bit earlier in the evening, and we will also be providing summaries of what we're going to be talking about on the website. So we're going to move it to an hour earlier from whatever time you're listening to now. And are we beginning next week or the week after?
We're going to begin it on June after the new moon in Gemini. So we hopefully
after that new
and the Venus Sun star point in Gemini, which marks a new 8-year cycle for us beginning this, and it's going to be on a Leo moon, which is always fun because Leo moons get us to be talking about you guys more. You know, one of the popular parts of the show is the education component that we do when we take calls from listeners. You know, in a brief survey of the people who like us and listen to us, they love that part because they get to learn charts and go along with it. And we, of course, do a little bit about the weather and the sky because that's, you know, we're astrologers and we have to talk about that stuff. But the idea is that we're going to do it on that lovely new moon in Leo. And, you know, it's right after the new moon in Gemini, but it's a moon in Leo. So it's all about you guys, the audience who's listening to us.
2 weeks from today. Next week we'll be talking a lot about the very powerful or intriguing new moon in Gemini conjunct Venus and in a T-square with Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune. So
yeah,
that'll be next.
It's a biggie. It's a biggie. Yeah, and then we'll have that new moon happen, and then we'll adjust our show. So what this means is, hey, you know, a little earlier, you can listen earlier as you're brushing your teeth, getting ready for bed, or, you know, if you download us the next day, that's fine. You can just download us as usual. So that's the plan. So this week we have the third of three closing squares of Jupiter to Saturn that takes place tomorrow morning. And what this does is it's taking us back to May of 2000 when Jupiter and Saturn met in Taurus. And, of course, back to last August when they met, they squared each other in Leo. So when we're in the closing square aspect. Now, the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction is a 20-year cycle. It's Jupiter-Saturn meeting, and then 20 years again, they meet again. So we had one in 1980. We had one in 1960. We had one in 1940. Keep going back in 20-year increments. Mm-hmm. It is tied to the presidential assassination cycle. And, of course, Kennedy died, and Earth, you know, because it's Jupiter-Saturn, the new leader replaces the old. And then, of course, in 2000, you know, there are those of us who believe Gore got assassinated in Florida. And so now we're starting that.
Yeah, the presidency itself got assassinated by
the Supreme Court, yeah. And one time only, though, you know, but it still counts. And then, of course, in 1980, Reagan didn't get assassinated, but he had an astrologer. And John Lennon got killed because the conjunction that year was in Libra.
That year it was in an air sign, and he started to suffer Alzheimer's, that's the mind, and he had his lung punctured by a bullet in an assassination attempt. So we saw the air really come through. But Jupiter and Saturn, that expansion and contraction cycle, we see them whenever they square off. We see, you know, right-wing and left-wing politics going at it, tooth and nail, and really at a standoff, which is what we're seeing with this one.
With this, certainly with this election cycle. Mm-hmm. But also in our lives, you're back to, and you can go back to each of these cycles and look, but if you go back to the cycle that began in May of 2000, I know in my case, we'd finished all the year 2K stuff because I'd gone back into corporate. You know, they were paying big bucks mm-hmm. to help convert all the systems for year 2K because all mm-hmm. the data had been stored with two digits because storage used to be expensive. It's not anymore, but back then it was. And so we had to convert all these systems to make them year 2K compliant. So May of 2000, the team I was running all got split up and scattered to the wind. And mm-hmm. they were like, well, you can do this other project. And I was like, but I really want to go be an astrologer. So that for me kind of marked, I think this is a time for my work change. And mm-hmm. so here we are with the Jupiter Saturn. We have a radio show. I have a radio show I do on Sunday nights. I'm an astrologer, right? So I'm mm-hmm. doing psychological work to integrate what I want the next chapter to look like. Now, interestingly, this one runs until December of 2020. This closing square, what we're setting off now, runs mm-hmm. until December of 2020 when the next conjunction takes place at zero Aquarius. And a lot of people look at that conjunction as kind of marking the official transition into the age of Aquarius, although people
yep.
argue, astrologers argue about that a lot. But that great cycle migrating out of Earth into air for permanent is one of the markers, they say. But anyway, what we do this week gets us set up for the next 5 years of the Jupiter-Saturn, how we're going to expand our relationship to the world, arguing and working with what our vision is of our life. And, of course, we're having that on the politics. What's your vision of America? What's your vision of what should happen in the government? What's your, you know, and we can see it's pretty contentious when we look at the Facebook uh-huh. posts. But it also is just in your own body, in your own being, there's a little struggle going on. And they're saying go back to May of 2000 and then think back, you know, 5 years ago, and then 2010, there was an opposition, and now we have the closing square, and then in 2020, we're going to start another cycle. So this is a really important time for us. And the stuff you think of, all the changes that have gone on in your life or have been proposed since last August when they squared each other in Leo and Scorpio, and then they went into this mutable thing of the Virgo and the Sag, saying time for a season change, time for a season change. Even the fixed sign people are feeling they've got to change stuff. Mm-hmm. So, Heather, what do you say to your clients on this this stuff?
I'm watching watching how they play it out, both within themselves, their belief that anything is possible and their belief that nothing is possible, their expansion qualities and their sense of inherited sense of limitation, and you know they're struggling back and forth between this is where I'm going to go, oh but I can't, or this is what is I'm stuck in, oh but I see this vision, and how can we let our discipline and our sense of expansion really work together? So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to how that goes, and to see how that manages, and it's going to be interesting to see this week as by Friday, Mars retrogrades back into Scorpio. Also,
right, that's the other big thing
this
week. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you know, Mars is just spending an unusually long period of time in Scorpio this year, and Mars in Scorpio plays hardball. Now,
yeah.
Mars in Sagittarius, you know, has kind of left us a little frazzled and fried, but it's got a lot of room, a lot of room to let things go, anger wise. But it started at the beginning of this year. If you can remember something that you focused upon or that you were wanted to achieve or that you were really upset about, something that involved your passions or your need to set limits, starting around January 3rd of this year, Mars then moved forward and into Sagittarius on March 7th, but now retrogrades back into Scorpio, and it will be there until the first week of August. So there's some old pain and frustration, old angers, old problems coming up. I saw that, Ken Starr.
Old boyfriends and girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
Returning.
And,
yeah.
you know, they mentioned that Donald Trump was bringing up, you know, the Ken Starr, the Clinton scandals in the end of the Clinton
mm-hmm.
administration. But I heard that Ken Starr was just fired from his job as president of Baylor College because of a failure to prosecute sex crimes within the university.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So an interesting go-around, come-around around Mars and Scorpio issues that happened
right
on schedule here. Also, that Mercury retrograde brought up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Mars and Scorpio, it is kind of a mean. I mean, I happen to have a lot of good friends with Mars and Scorpio, but it can really go lower form pretty quick. And it is, you know, it's a paid assassin, so it's got a sniper energy to it. And it digs, and it's going backwards, so it's digging up. Somebody was saying to me the other day, the old boyfriend's, you know, driving by for a visit, you know.
Mm-hmm,
what was that?
Mm-hmm.
The parade of exes, which is what I've been referring to it as. And I said, well, you know, don't, you know, well, you know, it makes me feel like I look back and I think, why could I be with that person? And I'm like, well,
mm-hmm.
no, reframe it. Look and see that's
mm-hmm.
what you chose then, but look at where you've grown to now. You know, when the exes call, and they do on the Mercury retrograde and the Mars retrograde, when
mm-hmm.
they call us and they invite us to, you know, talk or chat or figure things out, they profess their undying love because they made a mistake. They're doing that to remind you, to take you back and have you look at the old chapters. I had someone call who I hadn't talked to in probably over 14 years. She actually booked as a new client because she said, well, I haven't been in over 14 years, and I didn't really think I was a return. I'm like, well, I have a database with you in it, you know. but I, you know, she brought back when I was first learning astrology in the 90s, and I worked at school teaching, and I had all these 19-year-olds in a petri dish, you know, because they're very pure energy when they're 19-year-old charts, because they are living that chart, man, and those Mars-Uranus aspects are flying. But it was really fun to catch up with her, but it was also kind of an understanding of, oh, this is where, you know, this is where we are. It's like a reminiscence, but it also was a reminder of times past. So talk
mm-hmm.
to them when they call and look
mm-hmm.
at, or if you're thinking about them, think about them and, you know, go back and review it, but not with like you did anything wrong, like you did, or that there's something to be embarrassed about. It's really more to mark the changes in your life or to understand where you've come from. So when you know where you come from, you know where you get to go. We can't change the past. We don't have the future. We're living in the moment. But in this particular moment, it's very much a moment of looking around at our life and what we've done and shifted. I know myself, I've been shredding old checkbooks. I've got all these checkbooks that I don't use anymore, you know, from bank accounts closed for different reasons. You know, one of them went out of business and the mortgage failure, you know, it was kind of, so I'm like, I got all these checkbooks. Why don't we shred them? I kept the registers, but I shredded the checks. But yeah, it's go back through and clean out the Scorpio parts of your life because Mars and Scorpio wants you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And any planet you have between 23 and 30 are all going to get activated by this little Scorpio puppy between now and the end of June. Yeah. So, and then he dives into it, and then we have a nice nice passionate Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the weekend. There's all these fights and share houses on Fire Island. So everybody goes, I can't spend a whole summer with you. Or the couples that come out and they get separate houses so they meet more people. This is the weekend they break up. You know?
Yep. Oh, that's pretty funny.
I know.
Go ahead.
No, I remember saying once to Richie, he said, yeah, she's really nice. You know, they've been on Fire Island like 5 years, and they've always been in the same house. And this year they're going to be in separate houses to try and meet more people. And I looked at him, and I go, he's going to dump her.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to have a crazy, depressed woman in our house. He's like, oh, Anne. And then, of course, he did dump her. It was
sure
his
enough.
Idea. You know. Sure enough, he dumped her. So, yeah, so I always think of Memorial Day fondly. People sobbing in the grocery store. I can't go back. So, whatever. And this will be a passionate one because Mars is in Scorpio retrograde.
The beauty
of Scorpio, yeah. So, what will you – I didn't mean to interrupt
you. We have our 15th wedding anniversary tomorrow. So
oh, wow.
You're heading into it, but right before it really kicks in.
Oh,
yes.
Happy anniversary.
And I have noticed you have to be careful on. There's so much, you know, Gemini comes and all the energy shifts and everybody's moving and getting ready for the next chapter. So you have to stay really grounded on this time. It's good for beginning a new chapter. That's why there's so many wedding anniversaries on Memorial Day weekend. But it's easy to get spread thin, distracted, or start something you didn't mean to begin. So do be careful
on that.
Now,
how was your house
tour the last weekend? I'm sorry?
How was your house tour the other weekend? You had a house tour.
It was quite interesting. I've got, you know, Saturn on my fourth house cusp, transiting, and so we fixed lots of things in the house. I've also been revamping my sense of family history because we've recently found a whole branch of the family we didn't even know existed. We thought had died off, but no, they didn't, and we met the relatives last week.
Wow,
really,
that's pretty cool.
It was.
Neat.
That's all very Saturn in the fourth house of home and family and rebuilding your foundations. So
and what are you doing to celebrate your anniversary?
We got a letter from Jillian, and did you answer that a few weeks ago?
Nope, I didn't.
It's a lovely letter. She says, I adore your podcast, which is lovely. She attended an astrology workshop through Stephen Forrest and told all the students how insightful you were. A fellow student said she'd heard Anne speak at an NCGR conference and it was the highlight of her trip.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Which is lovely. She said she was talking to people who were taking the various NCGR classes, and she said, and this is the quote, I am at the crossroads of how to begin my formal training. I was hoping you could look at my chart and give me some tips about which program we better, which transits and progressions would be the most auspicious for going the next level. And she's born November 5th, 1978, at 2:47 p.m. here in Minneapolis. So I don't think she's there at this time. I don't know where she is.
Okay. November 5th, 1978.
Yep, at 2:47.
So interested in becoming an astrologer, or you know, going to the next level
of studying the next level of astrology, here in, and to figuring out what to do with that.
Well, you've got a Minnesota Stars chapter. You should definitely join.
Yes, if she's still in the state, I don't know if
you're
is,
still
but.
In the state. If you're still in Minneapolis, Okay, so it's a good chart for being an astrologer. I would, you know, if Jillian came to me for a reading, I would say, so do you study astrology? That would be one of the questions I would ask because of the Sun, Uranus, and Venus in Scorpio in the 8th. And then, of course, the Moon in Capricorn in Ceres in the 11th house of astrology and Aquarius ruling the 12th house of past lives being an astrologer. So I would think, you know, it's something you've done in other lifetimes, Jillian. So, that's an important
it.
A lot of remembering as opposed to really, you'll kind of sit there and you'll get it really fast and everybody will go, how did you get that so fast? It's because you've done this before. And also with your...
I call them the Chaldeans.
Yes, they kind of come in. So I'm looking at those nodes, angular, and your chart, and I would just say, just when the universe comes and knocks on your door and says, here's somebody you should study with, you've got the north node right there in the 7th, so Jupiter's going to come. It came in, it's going to aspect it this summer. So you're going to pull in people that really help you and help you figure out your direction in terms of what programs to study. And then, of course, your moon in Capricorn up there at the top likes certification, likes a formal study. It likes to know that it's being grounded. And, of course, the Capricorn moon really likes to know why it knows this stuff. Where does it come from? So it's an emphasis in kind of traditional astrology, I would think, more than some of the more esoteric stuff, you know, where they're doing the rays. You're going to be more about how does it work on Earth. But your midheaven is ruled by Sag, which is answering to that Jupiter in the sixth house. So I would say just, you know, turn on your brain, pay attention who knocks on your door and says, here's a class and you look interested in it, try it. There's an increasing amount of online classes. I've been impressed with the people that have gone through the Kepler program. They have a very good online program. There's a number of individual teachers that teach, you know, like you said, I think she said Stephen Forrest, he has an apprentice program. And there's other people. So I would really kind of follow your follow your path. What you might do is pick up one of the because the Capricorn Moon, pick up one of the three organizations that certify in the States, AFA, American Federation of Astrologers in Arizona, ESAR, the International Society for Astrological Research in Chicago area, and then NCGR, which is the kind of the East Coast National Council for Geocosmic Research. Each of them have certification programs. Each of them have curriculums. So if you get a copy of their curriculum that you have to know to pass their test, and you learn the stuff on that, and you find it as you travel around, and sometimes self-study, sometimes classes, it does look like your chart likes working in a group, so I think classes would be an important component. But that's the way to learn it, is get the list of all the stuff you're supposed to know and then learn all the things on the list. Heather,
now,
what do you think?
Now, you've got Mercury-Mars conjunction in Sagittarius in the ninth house. So linear thinking, you've got that linear moon in Capricorn, but your linear thinking, you tend to kind of go all over the place. So just sitting down with a handbook to do the numbers, you mentioned that you were a little intimidated by the calculations, the mathematical calculations needed for the NCGR level 1 and 2. Now, so you might look at the ESAR and the OPA methods of certification, which are less mathematically oriented, though you still have to know the math. You don't have to produce the same solid charts, from what I've heard. But
right. AFA you need to have the math, huh?
Yeah. And NCGR. And Pluto is coming to conjunct your moon in Capricorn, which is at 19 Capricorn, so it's going to be hitting it next year and the year after, and you really desire to do the deeper work, to get into it, to develop a relationship with a cohort of people, because it's happening in your 11th house, to do the deeper work together. So online is great, but if you could find an ongoing group to work with, it would probably be a lot more satisfying to you.
Right, and the NCGR has chapters all across the country. And if you look at AFA and ESAR, they both list teachers that teach in different classes around the country. So there's a lot of ways, but definitely find a community. And I like, there's a meetup group in New York. You know, I'd like it to be something a little more structured and in-depth than a meetup, although that's a nice way to meet friends and things. I'd like it to be a little more formal because it makes your moon in Capricorn happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happy moon, happy you. And it needs to know why with the structure of the Virgo ruling that, actually the process. But, with your chart, you would be able to do the math. You know, it's a little overwhelming at first, but there are a number of really good math resources. And there's nothing like knowing how to calculate a chart to help you ground. I particularly like the book called Simply Math by Lorraine Foulkes, F-O-W-L-K-S, and Lynn Salon, S-L-E-L-L-O-N. And they talk to you. It's a comprehensive guide for easy and accurate chart calculation. And it's a lot more straightforward and structured than a lot of the stuff I've seen. It gives you worksheets to work on and practice charts. So I'm a proponent of certification because I think it helps you feel comfortable that you know what you're doing. And there are astrologers, that never have been certified, and you could certainly go without that. But I do think your chart with that Cappy Moon would like the credential, and it would make you feel confident that you knew what your stuff was. So don't be afraid of the NCGR math. It's not that hard. The AFA math, you have to do both Level 1 and Level 2 NCGR math on, so don't do that one until you've passed the NCGR Level 1, Level 2. Because AFA is kind of like all the math. I was kind of like, what do you mean I have to know secondary progressions? I didn't study them. I mean, I passed them once, but when I sat for that test, it was kind of the night before in the hotel room, I went, oh, man, I didn't read that well. So, but, yeah, if you get a list of what those tests, what the certification programs ask for, and you know the stuff on the list, you're covered. Because then you're going to be a good astrologer. I mean, in the sense of knowledge base. And then the other way, you're going to be pretty good just in general with the Sun, Venus, Uranus in a counseling capacity. it's a nice chart for working with people, especially people going through Pluto transits, because you have Pluto in the seventh. Relationship stuff and how to work with it. Heather, any other observations?
Do we have anybody else on the line
that we
can take?
Let me look and see if we've got callers. We do.
Minutes.
We have a 336. 336, 501, you're on the air. How can we help?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great, great, great. My birthday is 3/21/74. Time 12:32 a.m. Greensboro, North Carolina.
Greensboro. 12:32 a.m.
North Carolina, and you've called in before, but it's been a while. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, I thought so. Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. I just kind of wanted to see if you guys saw anything. I'm having some, it seems like things are moving forward, but it also seems like things are falling apart or coming to a standstill, and it's all happening at the same time. So I'm just kind of wondering.
And over what kind
of
time, what kind of time frame?
Since maybe February, March. Until
Mars
now.
Was in Scorpio in your 12th house. You've got a 2-degree Sagittarius rising. So Mars went through your 12th house, came across, started in your first house, and has just retrograded back, and a few weeks ago backed into your 12th. So you feel like, hey, I just did all this work. But Mars is going to be, by the end of the summer, moving into your first house, and a lot of this work that you're kind of being sent back to refine, it's not falling apart. It's being adjusted and refined and cleared. You also have Jupiter coming up to your midheaven, which will, you know, next year, Jupiter's in your 10th house, a lot of opportunity. Jupiter will be coming up to your moon, your progressed moon. There's a lot of expansion and possibilities next year. It's not quite time. You'll really feel that more kick in the fall. That's what the first pieces that I'm noticing. Neptune is squaring your natal Mars. You don't know what's going on between you and other people. There's some confusion and misinterpretation of signals, possibly. They may not be being as honest as we'd like.
And with that Mars in Gemini, you always have to do everything twice. So think of this as revising the plan, not necessarily having the plan fall apart, but maybe the person you're going to do it with or the people that you're working with, you're going to do take two. And because you have Saturn in Gemini on the south node, maybe even take 3, 4, 5, 6. So you have to kind of think of it. You know, if you think about it, every time you go to a restaurant, you order something, they leave the salad dressing off or they forget to bring the wine or there's always something you have to go back for. And because Mars is retrograde right now in the 12th house, it feels like things are falling apart, which in some senses they are, but it's right. It's the right thing. It's a revise and revisit time. So at the end of the summer, you're going to be like, oh, that was for a good reason that fell apart. But, yeah, it's definitely feeling that way. So it's not forever, but it is for you to get a second look at it and see if there's a way to do it better or move it or shift it or adjust the chapter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it anyway. You know, it's temporary. Just wanted to see if, you know, you guys had some different insights of something maybe I'm missing or just
Is there a
specific
question that you wanted to ask that could help?
It's just really weird. Like, my money situation kind of came to a halt. But then I'm getting, I just today got like a really, really great job offer.
Excellent.
You know, it's really, really weird.
There's a lot of possibilities coming up this year. I would say be careful on how much money you're spending. But, yeah, there's a lot of, just because like the less out, the easier it will be to cover because it will be changing for a while. But you know, there's a lot of possibilities ready to roll this next year. Follow those opportunities.
Yeah. You know, starting a new 8-year cycle around relationship, partnership, and money in the next couple of weeks. So stuff can fall out and a new beginning happen. Heather and I will be talking about that in 2 weeks when we do the new show. We're moving the show to 10 o'clock starting on that the first week in June. But, yeah, you're starting a whole new 8-year cycle. So also if you think back 8 years to – because Venus rules money and love, and we have a new Venus star point taking place in your seventh house. So sometimes the old leaves and a new comes in. So I would just watch the flow and expect it to be very, very changeable because it's going to continue to be very changey, at least through the beginning of September, and then it kind of calms down. Then you know where you're going once we get to the beginning of September. So, cool.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
You're welcome. Have fun.
Take care of yourself.
All right. That's it for the show. The British lady said we're out of time.
Okay.
She always makes us hang up, Heather.
I know. It's terrible.
Happy anniversary. I hope you have a good
time.
What are you doing for fun?
We're going to spending the day at Red Wing, Minnesota. It's a kind of a nice river town, walking around and just getting away from our phones and internet for a day.
Nice.
It's been busy, so I'm happy to do that.
Yeah. Happy to do that. Great. That sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
So happy anniversary
and
to you and Ren. Big hugs.
Thank you very much. Hug back to you.
Hugs.
And take
all right,
care.
Bye, everybody. Have a great Memorial Day. Bye.